Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, man?
Vote, what's happening?
You don't really care. You don't want to know. I'm all in on playoff baseball right now. Sorry, Rockies Nation. Cardinals Nation, flying high, baby. All that matters.
It almost feels performative, Vote. Like, you love... I know you love the Cardinals, but it's almost like you even more love being the Cardinals a-hole.
That may be true. That may be true. I feel myself turning heel slowly. But listen, I'm all in on the Avalanche, okay? I slowly find myself rooting for this Broncos rebuild. And I gotta have my own thing, and it's cards all the way.
You know what? You are slowly becoming a Denverite, man. You represent a very important segment of the Denver person at the moment.
And what is that, intolerable transplant Cardinal fan?
No, you know, you're the transplant, like the converting transplant. You know, like there's the transplant, I'm not going to name any names, TJ McBride, who hates everything about the city. And yes. Then there's like the transplant that like moved here for a reason and loves it.
Well, one of us was just sucking up to get a job at DNVR. No, here's the thing about TJ that he needs to.
We love TJ. We love TJ.
He is a Nuggets fan. He won't admit it, but he is. He is.
Yeah, of course. Of course, you could tell. I mean, you could tell from his enthusiasm. He's an extremely enthusiastic guy.
Yeah, that might not be exclusive to the Nugget stuff.
That's true. He is a lover of life. So welcome in everybody to the DNVR Nuggets podcast. A ad-free Friday. It's ad-free Friday. Vote. This might be the only ad-free Friday the entire season, but that's what today is.
That's exciting. Am I supposed to be excited about that?
Well,
that
sounds like, for the sake of our audience, they are excited for that.
Oh, let's go. Pumped for you, audience.
Let's go.
Pumped for you.
Let's go. I'm pumped. I'm excited because I have stayed back in Denver the last 2 days while you have been down in the trenches all the way down in Colorado Springs. Thank you. getting the scoop and learning everything that's going on. So I get to play the role of out of the loop, and you get to kind of fill me in as you fill the audience in.
That's really, really important stuff coming through the pipeline here. No, we did actually get some updates today, Adam. Yeah. And I'm going to start with
no, you're not going to start there, because I'm going to start you somewhere else.
Maybe
this is where you were going, but I think so. I don't know if you saw today. I'm sure you did. You had to have. The perfect highlight came out of today's training camp. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The like 9-pass clip that Katie Wingy posted today?
Brendan, it is day 3 of the training camp, and I get to say this for the first time all season. The ball is popping.
The ball is popping.
The ball was popping, baby.
I really think it was 9 passes. It still ended in a contested jumper, but that makes me excited about second unit defense.
Did it go in?
So, yes.
Hey, man. It was a great shot. No, on it, like, I'm not even joking. I am joking a little bit because it's one clip out of training camp.
Good. Okay.
No, but I'm being for real. Like, this team seems to, like, I mean, they have a lot of good passers. And I don't know if you noticed, but Vando was part of that sequence. Mm-hmm. He had, like, a nice drive. Yeah. I think he had 2 drive and kicks. And this team has some, like, naturally born passers and guys that just like to pass. And I know it's hyperbole. This is the time of year for hyperbole. Not every team has a single possession like that in their training camp.
It's true. And the reason we're excited is because we genuinely expect to see some version of that when the regular season comes around. Last year was funky, man. I mean, for all of the defensive improvement, we expected a top four, top three offense.
Yeah.
That's probably what they were at full strength.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to see it, man. And that's like the conference finals, the finals, that stuff is obviously exciting, those possibilities. But what we will get, Adam, hopefully, knocking on wood, is some version of that offense firing at clicking on all cylinders. So I'm with you, man. I can't wait.
But it just looked pretty. I mean, there's the way, and here's the thing, like, so last year, Denver was 19th in three-point percentage, and you know, people that have listened to me on Locked On and just kind of know my takes, three-point shooting is such a, like, it's up or down, and a lot of times, it's like, you can have it, Denver could be 19th last year and then, like, first next year, or 30th next year, you know, this coming season. It's just, sometimes you just run cold, and there's so much variance there, and I think Denver shot poorly last year in addition to the injuries, so there's plenty of reason to think that they're not a 35% team. You bring back Gary Harris. You add a Michael Porter Jr. Maybe Wancho stays healthy. They might be a 38% team, which is, you know, what the top four teams basically in the NBA were last year. And it just, the ball gets popping so much easier when you're knocking down those shots. But that sequence, man, that was like the perfect highlight.
It was, man. It was. To your shooting point, don't forget Jeremy Grant either, who,
right,
you know, we'll find out if last year was some kind of like career year or outlier, or if we can expect 40% from the corners. Wind and I watched him knock down like 10 in a row. I know it's an open gym, but yeah, the guy's got the touch, man. So that's a big get.
I think he will shoot better than 25.5%, which is what Trey Lyles shot last year on three attempts.
Oh, I was going to ask where you're getting that number.
25.
Now I wish I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, wow.
But I mean, that's like, that's another thing. So your point stands, right? I mean, Trey Lyles played 64 games last year, took three threes a game, and he made less than one. And like Jeremy, that's an area where I just know Jeremy Grant will go up. So Denver, I don't know. I see sequences like that, and I'm just like, man, this team has some passing to them.
There's a Spursian soul, yeah, to this team, right?
I've always said that the Nuggets are the evolutionary Spurs. It's funny because people have compared them to the Warriors. They've compared them to the Hawks teams. Remember Mike Budenholzer, Paul Millsap?
Yeah, I hate
Hawks.
That comp.
I know. Well, yeah, it's not a great comp. I've even heard the like Sacramento Kings of the early 2000s. I think this team is really the spiritual successor to the beautiful game Spurs, which were not the early version of the Spurs, but the like 2013 version with Boris Diaw and you know, like, and I love that. I think they are, and so much of it starts with the center, the guy that sets the tone, Tim Duncan, and obviously now Nikola Jokic.
Yes. Yes, Jokic is a good passer. Where are the Nuggets for you? Like, if you were not the Denver Nuggets guy, if you had to try to do it objectively,
yeah,
are they a top five league pass team?
You know, it's funny because so one of the most interesting questions that we talked about over the summer, I think I put this out on Twitter, was like, whose highlight package is better, Carmelo Anthony's or Nikola Jokic? And it was split almost exactly 50-50. And everybody was so adamant that it was easy. It was like, oh, this is an easy choice, it's Carmelo, or this is an easy choice, Nikola Jokic. So for me, it's an easy choice, it's Jokic, because he does the things that I really love. So to me, they are no doubt about it. They're a top two or three or maybe one league pass team. But I'm not surprised that other people would be like, are you crazy? They're boring as heck. Give me the guys that dunk it. That's what I want. So you asked me to be objective. That's a subjective question.
Yeah, I know. Whatever, dude. Don't call me out on your podcast. A lot of people listen to this.
All right, let's take our first break here. When we get back, the rest of our show, we're going to go into some of the notes from training camp. We're going to get into some of the weeds about what's emerged so far in the storylines out of training camp, and just kind of get through some news and notes. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Wait a second, we don't have any ads.
Keep this in. Let's keep rolling. 100% serious.
I've never not thrown to break before, like ever, for any show.
No breaks needed, baby. Ad free Friday. We're rolling. Do you want an update from Brendan? No.
Brendan, give me an update from camp.
This is great content. Will Barton, yesterday we found out he's dealing with some small kind of injury, not related to last season. Uh-huh. Matt Moore asked Michael Malone, who did everything he could to not answer the question about what specifically is ailing Will Barton. We asked someone else and we got the answer in 10 seconds. He's dealing with a tweet hammy. They're not too worried about it and they're just being cautious. But Will Barton did participate today more than he has all week.
So I watched the video for on our, you should subscribe to our YouTube page because we post all of our videos just like we did with Stiffs, only we have better equipment, better audio, better video. I saw Michael Malone was asked about this and he tried to be real funny. Like he's in training camp form too. Because yeah. He is an elite deflector, right? And he somehow like was like, yeah, you know, he's dealing with a couple of things. And then somebody was like, oh, it's a couple injuries. And he's like, well, no, it's an ankle, it's a hip, it's a groin or something like that. Like he's trying to be coy. And it was like, wait a second, what? It was a super fishy answer.
God, he loves that stuff. And the look he gives us, like, because we have to laugh with him, but he knows not all of us want to laugh. Yeah, but it was a hamstring. They're not too worried about Will, though, for anyone who is.
So is there any type of timetable? Like, was there any type of, like, oh, he'll play in the first preseason game or won't?
He has not, like, been ruled out of anything. I think they're expecting him to, but no, we don't have any kind of timeline.
Do you think this affects him at all and his chances? Yeah, I do. Yes. I kind of do, too.
I brought this up a little. That's an important qualifier because Harrison and I briefly touched on it in yesterday's pod. Our bad on the audio quality. We hear your feedback. We'll get better. Mm. But we did, you know, he didn't think that this was that big of a deal, and it's not too big, but it's worth noting that, like, I think Will Barton's a confidence guy. He never really fully got back to being himself last year. He comes in new year, refreshed, right? Ready to turn a leaf. And the first thing he hits is a setback. So it doesn't guarantee anything, but my mind went where yours did there, Adam.
Yeah. What about Gary Harris? I see you have a note in here on him.
Yeah, Malone was pretty candid and straight up about something we've all kind of wondered about. You know, Gary deals with injuries and the lower body injuries are getting concerning, but he's got a football player's body. You know, he's a strong dude.
He is.
And so Malone said, you guys have probably noticed he's been coming into camp around 220 each of the last couple of years. This year, he and the team decided that he should come in a little lighter. So I don't know specifically what's been changed. We know Gary doesn't talk about his process too much, but he's not been lifting as much. And that's in an effort to try to prevent some injuries.
I'm so curious to see what we see from Gary this year because he's already really quick and really explosive. And if you take off 10 pounds, I kind of feel like he's going to be lightning quick this year.
I feel like he stands to lose those pounds and not, as Malone said, this is not a criticism of his physique. If anything, he's just too strong.
He's too strong. Too big. Yeah. There was another thing in the Malone quote from the video today, again, up on our YouTube page. He was asked about, like, Malik Beasley starting at the three, and I know we're going to get there, but before we get there, I want to ask, he kind of made it sound like there's no shooting guard controversy, like, oh, yeah, he's going to be backing up Gary all year. So he said something to the effect of, like, this isn't even a debate or a question, which I agree with, quite frankly, but it was also one of those things where it was just kind of interesting to hear that it almost made it sound like there's as much separation between Monte and Jamal as there is between Malik and Gary. Like, Gary is his guy. Were you surprised by that at all?
No, because as good as Malik gets, I think we know this team is not just committed to Gary.
Yeah.
We just know that a healthy Gary is one of the better players in the league.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. It was Harrison Wind who asked him, because Malone gave us that list of names who are in the race for the small forward position.
Yeah.
Four names, Malik wasn't on it. So Harrison asked if that was intentional. Malone said he just sees him as a two guard. He might try in stretches and lineups. He did touch on their potential versatility in terms of lineups this year. But as a starter, it would make them too small, Malone thought. I do think it's worth pointing out, though, man, how much smaller is Malik than Will Barton?
I know. I always think about that. Like, Will Barton, Torrey Craig even. Like, there's just this tiny gap between Malik and Will Barton and a tiny gap between Barton and Craig. Like, it's not they're not that different. But nonetheless, I do see Malik as a three. Like, I see Torrey Craig as a small three. So if Malik is even smaller than him, you know, I kind of see him as only a two. But I do see, like, again, secondary lineups to close out a half or something like that for two minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, man, run him off the court.
Hey, man, get shooters on the floor.
Tell me about this championship belt thing.
Yeah, so that was yesterday. They had a shooting competition. Oh, Adam, guess who was in the finals of the shooting competition?
Was it Malik Beasley?
It was Malik Beasley. Guess who the other person was?
Oh, God. So it makes me think it's crazy. I would have guessed Wancho, so I'm just going to say Wancho.
Yeah, yeah, don't overthink it, man. Okay.
Wancho, I thought you were going to get crazy. I was about to be Plumlee.
No, yeah. Although, by the way, have you ever watched Plumlee shoot in an open gym? I know the answer to that is yes.
Yes.
Plumlee will hit threes, by the way, yeah, when no one's guarding him. Not noteworthy, but
yeah, yeah.
Now you have that info. Yeah, so it was a shootout for a championship belt that Malone was carrying around like a McMahon relative. He was very excited to hand that thing out. But it does seem like this team is finding ways to like have fun, stay loose. They have that maturity to them, but I don't know. There were good spirits today, and I was kind of expecting that day three, like, yeah,
for sure,
you know, molasses or whatever.
We all predicted that, didn't we? That day three would be the day where Malone was unhappy with the energy. Let me say this. I know this is silly. We do this every year. We overstate training camp. We overstate these things. But so I'm going to put that caveat in there. This isn't a big indicator. But the vibe around this team is so much better than I expected, man.
Same.
Like, no, I expected a little ups and downs, a little tired to be here, a little 80 long season. But no, man, it's not that they're, like, running through walls. They just seem to, like, they're just professionals. That's why they're the new Spurs. They just seem like they're here to do their business.
I agree. Yeah, do their businesses. Well, when two of your best players are Gary Harris and Nikola Jokic, who, he's a, like, he jokes around.
Yeah.
But like he also like just wants to win, right?
Yeah.
And wants to get his work in. So I do think teams take on the personality of their stars. And
I, man,
this team, like, they have a steely kind of cold, mature feel to them right now.
So even just like the energy, because some of the clips they showed, I don't know if you saw the one where Jokic dunks it and then Torrey Craig like pushes him out of the entire arena. But just like you can tell everybody has energy, man. Like you can just tell they're like pumping each other up, and there's this big, like, just workman, like, we're here, we're giving it our all. I don't know. It's just the vibe is so incredibly great, and I'm just so impressed.
Well, going back to that kind of full circle here, like, one of the reasons I hate that Hawks comp is that was the end of that run.
If you're
on this Denver Nuggets team, like, they fell just short of a Western Conference Finals appearance that the whole city wanted. And this isn't the end of the line. And in many of their minds, it's just the beginning. So as an athlete, a competitor, like, why wouldn't you be hyped?
Yeah. And I got to say, man, Malone, he just seems to be in such control. Like, he's in his element. He's in his bag right now, and it's cool. And I know there'll be ups and downs. Like, the NBA season always has ups and downs. But it just seems like they're starting on an up, and it's kind of cool to see. Not just an up. They're starting off, like, I would say what I've picked up on now through Media Day and 3 days is, like, I would give him an A+. I know that's dumb to grade, but it just that's how I feel about the team at the moment.
You know, one thing I've noticed about a lot of the great coaches in the league, this doesn't include a Brad Stevens, but guys who kind of know how to own their role outside of their day-to-day responsibilities, Popovich, Kerr, like, some of these guys can really own a press conference.
Yeah.
And they're kind of aware of their energy and the influence they can have on their players by how they use the media. I think Malone's kind of thrust himself into that club, you know?
Yeah.
He carries himself like one of the guys, like the guy that should be in charge of this team.
Oh, yeah. No, he seems like the perfect guy at the moment. It's incredible. I feel like, you know, one of the cool things about sports is, we don't feel like we have to be right all the time. And one of the things is we have now – I know you've been with the team now for 2 years, but, you know, Harrison, we've been watching this team for, this is our fifth season, basically, watching this team. And I feel like I've learned a lot just about the, like, long-term trajectory. Because, you know, there were times 3 seasons ago where we'd really criticize Malone for not, you know, not playing player X more, or doing this, the lineups aren't working. But, and some of that was, I think, legitimate. I mean, some of that stuff still holds up. There's lineups that he's sat on too long. Even last year, there's lineups he played too much. The Torrey Craig starting lineup was getting destroyed and stuck with it for too long. But when you step back from those little, like, day-to-day details and you look at the big thing, you're like, man, he had this great line about MPJ today about him not, like, if he's going to get minutes, he's going to earn them. And he's like, and that's nothing personal. We just think that everybody should earn minutes in the NBA. Nobody should be gifted them. And he's like, Jokic wasn't gifted them. And I was thinking, like, yeah, Jokic came off the bench his second season when it was clear he shouldn't have. Like, he had to fight.
Yeah.
He had to go through so many obstacles just to get it. Jamal Murray, same thing. He backed up Emmanuel freaking Mudiay shooting 30% from the field and Jamal Murray sitting behind him. And, like,
I'm waiting for the butt.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's cool that he can tell Michael Porter Jr. I think Michael Porter Jr. understands it. Like, this is the cool thing. They've built up enough sort of that reputation to be able to say, hey, man, we think you're incredible, but if you're going to play, you're going to earn it. You're not just going to earn it. You're going to have to give 130% of what the guy in front of you is, and that's what Jokic did. It's what Jamal did. It's what Gary did. And, you know, stick with it. And it's just – it's such a power move at this point.
I feel like, you know, some – like Brad Stevens was hired to draw up plays and get the most out of an offense and a defense.
Right.
I think Malone was hired to oversee a culture rebuild, and that's clearly his forte, and we're seeing the fruits of that now, you know?
Malone would love – like he would probably give you a kiss if he heard you say that, I think.
Yeah.
I think NBA coaches love to be like – talked about as better than Brad Stevens. You know, it's like it's like the way that everybody, all players seem to hate Steph or hate like Lonzo or like the guys that get a ton of credit and they're like, man, I'm better than this dude. I think that's how Brad Stevens is. Like,
that's how all the Nuggets bloggers talk about you when you're not around. So
fair. All right, so Malik, I know I saw in the video today Malik told Bol Bol and MPJ to go to him, like that he can mentor them through. Mm. What do you think of that comment?
That comment stood out to me. I thought it was a little funny. He did, you know, he was injured his first year, and you know, to his credit and to his point here, this was a guy who kind of, he was a really, really talented player in high school and in college.
Yeah.
And then he gets injured and he has to come in and learn his new role while dealing with an injury. And he had to be taught, we don't need you to dominate. We need you to flourish within a role. So within that context, he probably can relate and speak to Michael Porter Jr. a lot. But I can't, he's so young, man.
Yeah.
The idea of him like bringing guys under his wing is so funny.
Well, that's what's funny about this Nuggets team, right? Is that, what is he the like, honest to God, what is he maybe the like sixth or seventh youngest guy on the team? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he's not the youngest.
Yeah,
like,
no.
He's so young,
yeah,
but he's actually
right.
Significantly older than a lot of these guys. I'm trying to pull it up right now.
Someone's got to be the vet, right?
He is older than six players, so he is seventh.
That's actually hilarious.
And if you take off, like, PJ Dozier, Tyler Zeller, he's actually, like, a lot closer. He's actually, like, basically smack dab in the middle.
It's crazy, man.
It is totally crazy. So I guess he is a mentor.
Malik Beasley, mentor.
And then lastly, there's another thing out of camp today. When they break it down, they say championship, which I know they're playing with the media right now. They're doing a very good job of talking day by day, not like thumping their chest in this or that. But when I see them say that, like when they hop in the huddles and they say championship to break it down, man, I just love it. That tells me more than anything where their mind is. Like at the end of the day, they have to remind themselves we're aiming really high.
If nothing else, it should satiate all the boomers who blame things on like losing mentalities and all that nonsense, right? So there's a winning mentality, Adam. They're not backing down. They're not shying down.
Well, I usually would take a break right here, but then Brenda would just laugh at me because it is ad-free Friday. So I'm going to go right into our mailbag questions.
Wait.
Okay.
You keep to – it's not an official break, but I am going to go get a Breck Brew out of my fridge. Give me 10 seconds.
Breck Brew. That is a plug, though. That still counts, a Breck Brew.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And we're back.
All right. So we're going to go to mailbag questions, guys. If you're a subscriber, first of all, I should announce, and it's a little bit of patting ourselves on the back here. We just had our best month at DNVR of all year, obviously formerly BSN. So we're counting those BSN months, but I'd like to say vote. You and I joined, and in 1 week we helped them have the best, helped our company have the best month ever.
Clearly us.
Clearly us.
Yeah. Give us the company.
But sincerely, we appreciate you guys. I think a lot of people saw what happened at Sports Illustrated today, this massive layoff. And I think the plan over there, like it is at SB Nation, to hire a bunch of non-union contractors to pay them well below a living wage to now run their sites. And this is just the status quo in sports journalism and journalism at large. And so I think what we're trying to do over at DNVR, in addition to it just being a really cool thing that we sincerely believe in and film some awesome stuff to today. I can't wait to share with you guys next week. In addition to all of that, it's also one of those things where this thing we have, our ability to talk to you guys day in and day out and make cool content about the Denver Nuggets and hopefully make your experience better, it's not a guaranteed thing. In fact, it's the farthest thing from a guaranteed thing. And if Sports Illustrated didn't make it, imagine what the challenge Little DNVR has. So we sincerely appreciate all of the people who subscribed this month, and we hope that October is even better.
Hey, any Nuggets fan, if you had anything to do with those subscription numbers, it means more to us than you can know.
Possibly.
And shout out Brandon Spano, who deserves credit for taking a shot in a world where everyone else is backing down. So
100%. All right, let's get your mailbag questions. If you are a subscriber, you can reply to our podcast episodes, and we're going to read your questions here. So let's get to it. Hey, guys, there were rumors about Jamal working this offseason with Chauncey Billups, and that made my pants tighter. Okay.
Got a vet piece, man.
TMI, perhaps, but okay. Then I hear about Jamal's offseason highlight was attending Kobe Bryant's invite-only camp and sitting in front of a TV watching reruns of playoff games. How confident are you Jamal is going to really earn that contract? And if you could just comment on the nuances of a Kobe versus Chauncey mentorship, that'd be fab. Also, for the criticism of Vote's fashion sense on Twitter, I love sweatpants as much as the next guy. Mitchy Melbs.
I'm stuck between I want the dude aesthetic, but I'm too sensitive for it. You know?
Yeah.
I want to not care. But when Mitchy Melbs takes shot on the internet, I care.
Well, Mitchy Melbs, man, he likes sweatpants too, man.
Yeah, thank you, Mitch. Oh, I want to speak to the earlier part, though, because as someone who's been mentored by both Kobe Bryant and Chauncey Billups.
Right, yes. What can you tell me? Yeah. No, I do like this question, actually. This question gets to a lot of interesting things. And first of all, let me say, Chauncey Billups is obviously a great leader as a teammate, incredibly smart basketball player. Who knows if he is a great sort of like mentor? I think we have to compartmentalize everything, right? Great smart players don't always make great smart coaches or great smart general managers or even great owners. Like Michael Jordan, the greatest player that ever lived. Horrible owner.
Absolutely horrible.
Magic Johnson, one of the greatest players that ever lived. Horrible general manager. I mean, so like...
Wait, hey, hold on. He got LeBron at him.
Well, that's true. That's true. So first of all, Kobe Bryant, not my favorite player. He was my favorite player for a while, but not like, if I'm analyzing him, he's not, in my opinion, it's a hot take. I don't think he's a top 10 player of all time. He's very close. But as a mentor, the thing that Kobe gets right, he was incredibly technically sound. Incredibly technically sound. And so if he gets in the gym with a bunch of people, you know, a player like Jamal Murray, and he's showing them a couple secrets, a couple moves, there's nobody on the planet better than Kobe to teach those types of things.
And Jamal is also of that cloth already. Yes. Like, he takes those shots. That's just going to be the case.
Yeah.
And so he might as well be learning from a guy who knows how to hit the hard ones better than anyone. And I do feel like he really does have that stuff you can't teach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in a sense, there's like an optimist perspective here.
But I don't even think it's the optimist perspective, man. Like, look, I am not a big believer in Mamba mentality as this universal truth of basketball, the way that the Mamba himself presents it. I mean, I think even Kobe maybe gets reduced sometimes too much because Jokic is one of his favorite players.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way you mistake Jokic for Mamba mentality. He's the opposite of that. He literally said, "I don't set goals because it makes me nervous."
Hey, we've learned a lot about what is good and what we should value since Kobe was in his prime.
Yeah.
But what we valued, there was no one better when he was playing.
Right.
And so you just like what we should be critiquing is ourselves for how we evaluated things, not
right.
Kobe. Right?
100%. So I'm all in favor of him going to this camp. You know, anytime you're at a camp with the names that you're at, you don't, in the offseason, these guys don't get a go against De'Aaron Fox and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard every day. Like, a lot of times they're back in their hometowns. They're just going against their old high school buddies and stuff. And like, so for the fact that he was there with some of the best basketball players in the world, being mentored by one of the best one-on-one players of all time, if not the best, to me, it's like this is, of course, a positive. Now, if he turns into Kyrie Irving, where he starts talking about crazy conspiracy stuff and his third eye opened up this summer, then of course, yeah, that would be a bad thing. But on the flip side, you know, Chauncey, a lot of people I hear say like, oh, I want Chauncey to become the general manager of the Nug. I wish they would bring him in. And my whole thing is, who knows? Maybe he's
great,
good.
Great take.
Well, no, I mean, like, again, like I'm saying, you know, Isaiah Thomas, super crafty basketball player, horrible general manager. You know, there's a lot of guys that Jason Kidd, one of the smartest high IQ point guards, terrible coach. So, I mean, Chauncey, I just don't know that Chauncey would be the guy that would take Jamal Murray's game to the next level. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, but look, what the real takeaway here is nothing new. It's not news. Jamal Murray wants to get better, and Jamal Murray's going to spend his time trying to get better.
And then on the flip side, you know, or the second part of that question, asking about watching film, I love that he watched film. And that's what I mean, to me, a large part of Jamal Murray's next step is about the film work, is about the basketball IQ portion of this, the subtle details. And so if he was really truly successful at going over that stuff over the summer, then to me that would be a huge leap for him. And then lastly, I'll say this. I'm a big believer in Tim Duncan would take like 2 months off every single offseason before he'd touch a basketball. He talked about this all the time. One of the greatest players ever. I do think that this idea that we value the day after you lost, you were in the gym and you were doing push-ups and stuff. Like, your mind needs a break. Your soul needs a break. And if he took some time off before getting right back in the gym, I actually think that's a good thing.
So you're not for Jimmy Butler showing up 6.5 hours early to practice then?
That story? That's a real story.
Yeah, it's so absurd. It's the perfect example of Mamba mentality gone too far.
Do you know that Office episode where Michael Scott shows up to the party like 4 hours early? Like the host is still in the shower. That's what that's like.
We'll go full circle and take another shot at TJ. It's like TJ sitting in the Pepsi Center at 1:30 p.m.
He definitely does that too sometimes. That's too funny. All right, before we get out of here, we're going to read. We told you we'd read all of our reviews because we want people. We're trying to build this up. This podcast currently a 4.5-star pod. We want it to be a 5-star pod. We've received like 20 5-star reviews over the last week since we started. Since we've joined Harrison, trying to with this what people are calling a super team. So let's read these. We have two new ones. You kids are spoiled. This is coming from Viv Savage 303. Two explanation points, by the way. You kids are spoiled. Back in my day, you had to listen to 3 painful hours of Bronco talk on sports radio to maybe get 2 minutes of the Nugs. Love the show and the new crew. 5 stars.
Oh, man. Does that just not get you up and get you going?
It does.
A little energy. Oh, man, I'm psyched.
I love the Broncos, but sitting through hours and hours of it, yes. So thank you, Viv Savage. That was a 5-star review. The next one comes from Chungawamba. I think I said that right. The Big Three lives. I can't imagine the amount of off-season tampering that had to happen to bring the Big Three together, but I like it. Best Nuggets podcast in the game. Thanks for using good microphones, guys.
Was that a shot at the end?
I think so.
Yeah. Can I just say something? There was so much tampering.
There was a lot of tampering.
That's what it took, so he's not wrong.
That is, that we're getting paid under the table and, you know, breaking the salary cap. And then last one, you might have read this one yesterday, I don't know. Daily Ritual and Must Hear Podcast. 3 explanation points. The best podcast out there for any NBA fan. Super intelligent breakdown of any Nuggets news and insight. Ooh, intelligent. Listening to this podcast has become a daily, quote, he put daily in quotes, daily part of my life every morning and always starts my day off right. That comes from Kando Comics.
We're trying to bust them out daily. I'm going to push back. I don't think this is the best podcast for Kings fans, but
It might be.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe they love Jamal Murray.
Well, we appreciate it. So 3 great ones came in last night / today, and we really appreciate every single one. It helps us pump up the show. The way iTunes algorithm works, it helps us get this show in front of other people. So we appreciate it, and of course, we always love hearing the feedback. And 3 exclamation points. I think Kando Comics, you win the review of the day. Because of the three exclamation points. Guys, that's it for this week. Next week, guess what happens next week, Brendan?
What, Adam?
The Nuggets play basketball games.
That's so lit. Oh, my God. Michael Porter Jr.
By this time next week, Michael Porter Jr. will probably have 2 games under his belt.
Oof. Underscore the probably, but I am so hyped.
I'm excited for it. I'm also excited for some of the content we have at thednvr.com. Of course, coming up, we're finishing up tomorrow. We will have the final 3 episodes of our season preview. I've really, really enjoyed those. I hope you guys have as well. And then next week, some X's and O's breakdowns, some cool explainer series, and then just a lot of really, really cool content that we're going to be pushing out, including the introduction to our post-game show. That's right, our post-game show. We'll be bringing that to you as well. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We will be back next week with brand new episodes. We'll see you then.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.